Welcome back, guys. This is True Crime Project. I'm Steph.
This is Kat.
I hope all of you are surviving COVID-19 quarantine.
And the many you heard us talk about, like the shenanigans of me and everything. And Kat has her own little Karen story to tell us.
So I think we talked about it a little bit in the mini episode. It was like at the end where there was freaking neighborhood kids going to the parks and stuff that are supposed to be shut down here. So there was a family, like a family with little kids. So we have a skate park and we have a park that has like all the little kid swings and all that normal jazz too. Yeah. And for whatever reason, it seems absolutely impossible to keep the skateboard teenagers out of the park. But then I got really pissed because we have this park that the little kids go play at, and I have not let my kids go at all because I don't know how other states are right now, but all of our, I shouldn't say parks, playgrounds are all shut down. They are legally closed. You cannot be at them. You can get a citation if you're at them. This is all, I mean, we're allowed to go for walks, bike rides, as long as we're in, like, only with basically our family members. Mm-hmm. But we're not supposed to be at the parks because it can live on surfaces and all that stuff. So I look out my window last time we were recording, and this family is at the park. So we get off, we get finished recording, and it's literally like, I don't know, less than 1,000 feet from my bedroom window is where this park, this playground is. So, and then I was looking up megaphones. I'm like, I need a megaphone. So my husband vetoed that. He's like, you don't need a megaphone. I was like, yes, I do. But I think he knows I'll use it. So he didn't let me order it, but you should
order the air horn.
Yeah, but he won't let me. It's the same thing. The megaphone, the air, like you push a button and talk into it. And it like,
no, a police. An air horn is the thing that,
oh, that just you push the button and it's that loud noise.
Yeah.
I don't want that in my house. I feel like he'd use that to prank me or something. I don't know. But anyway, so this family is at the park. It's like a dad and a bunch of little kids. And my window's open. And I yell out the window. I was like, go home. The park's closed. And he just looks around. And then literally continue playing at the park. I was like, okay, what the fuck? So I'm talking to my other Karen-ass neighbors, and they're like, you should go tell them that COVID was there, like that somebody with COVID was at the park. So I was like, well, shit, I don't have anything to do. So I take a walk with the dog and the kids, and there's a fence around the park. So I walk up to the fence. I'm not near the people that are at the park or anything. And I was like, hey, you know, I was like, hon, you should be careful because the reason that they started closing the parks down is because there was somebody at this park last week that tested positive. And he was like, oh man, really? Are you sure? Like, he was like, thanks for telling me. So I was like, haha, whatever. You know, I finished my walk with the kids thinking that'll get them, like that'll teach them, then they'll go home, whatever. Absolutely, they did not. We go for a walk, we come back past the park on the way home, and they're still happy as clams playing at the park. No fucks given. I'm like, okay, whatever. It is what it is. At this point, it's like the Darwin Awards, and whatever. We'll see what happens, I guess. So I did see a meme because so our little village put pretty substantial fencing. Like the playground is completely closed off. You'd have to like throw your kid over to get in there. I don't even know how you would get in there at this point. But like the skate park, they put up a fence around that, like a temporary fence, and the kids just hop right over that and go. So I still continuously hear them at the skate parks. And so I saw a meme that had a skate park, like very much like ours. And they had, it must have been whatever village poured, I don't know if it was dirt or mulch or whatever, but like the whole skate park is like full. And it's like when you can't keep kids out of the skate park. And somebody shared it to our like village page. I was like, that's pretty much the only way I think you'd keep these kids out of this skate park is to fill it in with something, because they do not care. So, but yeah, that was my little acting like a Karen. What is it? Picnic Patty? Yeah, I'd like to report some people having fun.
That's funny.
I don't know. At this point, I'm just over it. I'm staying in my bubble as much as I can, and it is what it is. So things have been weird, but.
Oh, my God. So before we were recording, I sent Kat a video of my son, my one-year-old, screaming because he's overly tired. If I held him, he cried. If I put him down, he cried. If I looked at him wrong, he cried. My boyfriend just sent me a picture. I've been upstairs for no more than 10 minutes. He's fucking sleeping on Mike right now.
Of course he is. That's good, though, at least. Hopefully he'll be not a nightmare when you are done recording.
Yeah, but I'm like, God damn it, man. 2 minutes with him and he's already sleeping.
That's a good thing, though. He did calm down, though, but I was like, man, what did she do to that baby? She broke him. Quarantine broke the baby, guys.
I do have my quarantine and chill hoodie on, finally. I got it in the mail today.
Oh, I thought you made it.
Oh, my God, no.
Don't you have a cry cut or whatever?
A cricket?
Yeah, I call it a cry cut. I don't know what it's really called.
So I think it's called a cricket, but I can make my own
Correct. You're probably correct. It's just how because it's not spelled like a cricket. Like,
right.
So when I see it in my head, it's cry cut. Yeah, plus, it's a crafting thing. So in my head, since that's what it does, is like cut things. That's how it came out. So basically, I mean, I've probably been saying it incorrectly in my head for a while, but that's okay.
But I decided that I probably shouldn't go out for a hoodie and vinyl to make stuff, because that's not essential. So if someone else has it on hand, I will support other small businesses through this.
Yeah. I don't even know. Speaking of non-essential, my TV in my bedroom took a shit last night. I was laying in bed later at night, and all of a sudden my TV screen went black, but I could still hear them. So I was like, maybe it's the cable box. I don't know what's going on. Nope. The first TV that we ever bought when we first got married, it's like a, I don't know, flat screen TV. It was on the wall of my bedroom. It is no more. It finally crept out. I'm like, of all the times that it could have taken a shit, like, this is not the time. So I don't know. Right. Luckily we have plenty of TVs in our house. I stole my son's flat screen off his wall. The kids have a TV in the loft, and he barely ever watches TV in his room anyways, because he just has a DVD player, and he's usually, if he watches something, it's like Netflix or whatever on his tablet. So I was like, fuck it, he doesn't need this TV. I'm stealing it for now until we figure out what we're gonna do. Is what it is. But it's so tall, it's so small. It's like a little, it's like a 32 inch or something like that. And in my room, it's far away. So it looks like a little baby TV. But
oh my God.
I'll take it. It's better than nothing. And I just can't rationalize buying a new TV right now. So I'm gonna have to wait this all out and see what happens here before I decide to buy a new TV. So
yeah, oh no, well. I completely understand that.
So we'll see. It is what it is. I'll take it. It's better than nothing. So
right.
I just, my like bedroom is my little like oasis that like the kids and I'll always, like my husband when he comes over seems to take over downstairs. So
yeah.
And that's fine by me, because I enjoy my bed. It's my favorite place in the world. So I'll go watch TV in my room. And a lot of times the kids and I, like before bed, I'll like lay down and watch TV in my bed for a while. So I was like, no, I need a TV in there for sure. So, but now we have a little baby TV. So but that's okay. For now, it'll work. I'm glad at least we have that. So things have just been so weird. So yesterday was Easter. Now, we actually recorded this episode a while ago, but we're re-recording because some shit went down. I don't even know what happened. But so yesterday was Easter, and I'm assuming you stayed home yesterday?
I did. It was just me, Mike, and Bubba.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, it was such a strange day. It was a very nice day. We had a great family day, I think, in my opinion. I ended up making ham and all that jazz for the kids and did the whole Easter bunny thing in the morning. But usually we would do that and then end up going to my mom's to be with the family. And so it was different. It was strange. But we had a nice day, the four of us. So
it didn't even really feel like Easter.
No, it was just, it was strange. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, but
I completely agree with that.
I mean, we, for what it was, I think we made the best of it. We went and played outside for a little bit because at least it wasn't like it's been today. It's freezing here. It's like in the 30s. And I don't know how we keep going from like 60, 70 to like back down to 35. Like, I don't understand what's going on here.
Same.
But so at least it was decent out yesterday. We played outside for a little bit. I made a like ham and all that, like I said. And my mom actually had stopped by and just left like little goodie bags and Easter stuff on the front porch for the kids a couple days ago. So we did a, I can't stop yawning, you guys. I think this weather is making me like, I don't know. I could probably sleep all day if my kids weren't in my face by like 9 a.m. But but we had like a family movie night. We had a nice day for what it was. I think we made the most of it. So I'd like to not have to do another holiday that way, probably. But same. For what it was, I can't complain. We had a great meal and a nice family time. So I'm happy with that. But yeah, so anyway, so why don't we just get into it?
Okay.
I know a lot of people during quarantine, I think most of America probably has watched Tiger King since it's come to Netflix. Steph, did you watch Tiger King?
I sure did.
Okay. So I chose a missing persons case today, and it is a strange one. It's a case that has been renewed recently due to the huge coverage and interest it's gotten from the Netflix docuseries Tiger King. Now, the case I'm covering is the mysterious disappearance of Don Lewis, aka that bitch Carol Baskin's second husband. Now, before we get into this, I want to make it clear that True Crime Project is not saying anyone is guilty. No one is guilty until proven so in a court of law. What I do want to basically go over is all the possible theories and really to bring light to the case in hopes that it will eventually be solved one way or another. So, Don Lewis was a very wealthy, self-made businessman. In 1981, he was married to a woman named Gladys, and they had two daughters. Don was a ladies' man, and one night he was on a business trip. He was driving down the road and saw a woman walking down the street and crying. That woman's name was Carol. Now, she was in a bad marriage as well. She had a young daughter herself. The night she met Don, she'd had a fight with her husband. And that was why she was upset and on the side of the road, according to her. She said Don pulled up and asked if there was anything he could do or if she'd get in his car. And according to her, she refused. So he pulled the car around again. And when he pulled back up by her, there was a gun on the front seat. And he told her, "You can hold that gun on me. I just need someone to talk to." Let me tell you, if someone pulled up and had a gun on the seat, I don't think they'd even be able to ask me a question before I'd be moving the fuck right out of there at lightning speed.
Yeah, I'd have to say I'd do the same.
No, thank you. Oh, you want me to reach in that car and grab that gun? No, I'm good. Thank you. Bye. See you later. But not Carol fucking Baskin. She was A-okay. So the two rode around together, and she said she held the gun on him, and they talked. And I'm not sure if this makes her a badass or a dumbass, but either way, it took balls. I'll give her that. So she spent the night with him that night, and the two ended up falling in love. Now, here's the little catch that I found when I was researching this that I didn't see mentioned in the documentary at all. Supposedly, the street that their little meeting took place on is known in that community as like a shady area. There's often women of the night or sex workers, whatever you prefer. In that area, it's a common place for things like that. So her story that is slightly fishy may be true, or maybe Carol Baskin was working the corner and that's how she really met Don, which probably isn't what you'd want to be telling people if that was a real story. So who knows? Who knows what really happened?
Yeah, I don't think we'll ever find out.
Probably not, because she's probably the only one that knows besides him, and she's never going to admit that. So,
oh, for sure. So
Don ended up leaving his wife Gladys for Carol, and Carol eventually left her husband for Don. The two married 4 years after meeting, and Carol was obsessed with animals, and Don had a fascination himself with animals. So the pair kind of makes sense. But Carol was a bleeding heart who wanted to save all the animals, while Don was a businessman. So everything to him was about capitalizing. So the two rescued bobcats and lynx and built a sanctuary for them. But Don saw an opportunity to make some money on it. So they started breeding and selling the very cats that they were supposedly trying to save from traders in the first place. The two started a small sanctuary or zoo, which they called Wildlife on Easy Street. And Carol and Don ended up getting into bigger cats. So it's basically escalated. A few years before Don went missing, the two purchased their first tiger, which is a pretty big leap for me. And Don wanted to move the sanctuary to Costa Rica. He had started to create a place there, and it was more ideal financially because the laws there were a lot more lax, so they could breed and sell big cats there. But Carol was not at all on board with this. When he would go down to Costa Rica on business, she would spay and neuter as many of the cats as she could while he was gone so that he could no longer breed them. And I'm sure this would cause some stress in a marriage. There's clearly they're not on the same page. So now on top of that, people have reported that Don had a girlfriend down in Costa Rica, which seems likely based on what we know about him being a playboy during his first marriage to Gladys. Hell, it's how he met Carol in the first place. She was either just some girl on the side of the road or possibly a sex worker that he met. So who knows? But every young woman who steals someone else's boyfriend or husband always thinks they'll be better or good enough to keep that guy from cheating on them. And unfortunately, that's just not how it is. So Carol's marriage to him obviously had some issues as well. And it doesn't look great for Carol, but it doesn't mean she necessarily was involved in his disappearance either. Well, multiple people have reported that before he disappeared, Don was acting strange, that he felt his life might be in danger. And multiple people, including his ex-wife Gladys and their daughters, have said that before he disappeared, he told them he wanted to divorce Carol and thought she was dangerous. His trusted personal assistant, Anne McQueen, said that he gave her a copy of a restraining order that he'd filed 2 months before he disappeared against his wife. he wasn't granted protection. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, like, he was obviously wasn't granted protection then, right?
No. Because, so his daughter said that for him to do something like this, it was so out of character for him to get any kind of government involved in his affairs. So for him to do something like this, it must have been really serious. He must have really felt like he was in some sort of danger. But the grounds for filing the restraining order claimed Carol had threatened to kill him. And on August 18th of 1997 was the last time anyone would see or speak to Don Lewis. So on the day he asked one of his, the last day that he was seen, he asked one of his right-hand men, Kenny, who had been working with them for him for many, many years, to help him get his truck ready because he was leaving the next morning to make a run to Costa Rica. And when he was interviewed, Kenny said that while the two were doing some work together, the last thing Don ever said to him was, "If I can pull this off, it'll be the slickest thing I ever did in my life." Now, Kenny said that after that, Don got a call and he left. So Kenny never got to ask him what he meant. And he never saw him again after that.
That's kind of a strange thing to say.
I agree, which is why there's so many theories about what really happened to him.
Right.
Because that statement could have had to do with him disappearing himself. It also could have had to do with some sort of illegal activity that he was involved in. Right. So, you know, so after that, Carol says the last thing Don ever said to her was he needed to get a truck ready because he was going to leave. And she says this multiple times and the same thing in every interview, early the next morning for Costa Rica. So that was unusual and she said she never heard or saw from him again. That wasn't unusual. I'm sorry. She said this was a normal thing. He pretty much did runs like this regularly.
Well, at least she's got her story straight every time she tells it.
Well, the thing is, it may just be that that's exactly what happened. And she has no idea what happened to him.
Yeah.
But I will say for those that do commit crimes and lie about them, usually the best liars, the ones that are able to get away with it the most often, or able to get away with like past polygraphs and things like that, the reason is because they mix in truth to their story. So you'll never tell it differently because you're telling
that makes sense.
Things that actually happened, even if you are adding in, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that may have happened, and then she went and killed him. Maybe not. Who right. knows? We'll probably never know. Maybe we will. Maybe we'll find out one day. But that could very well be the last thing he said to her. And maybe it stuck with her because she's traumatized because her husband disappeared. Or maybe she remembers it because it's the last thing she said he said before she slathered him in sardine oil and fed him to her tigers. who knows?
Oh, so, man.
Carol reported him missing the next afternoon after not hearing from him. And she said the police found his van a few days later in a parking lot of a small airport. Now, his keys and his briefcase were still in the van when it was found, which to me was strange. I would think those are things you would take with you if you had driven yourself there and then.
Yeah.
Regardless of what you were doing, if you drove yourself somewhere, I would think to me that's the equivalent of me leaving the keys and my purse in the car. If that's found in my car, you should be worried. Something happened probably, you know?
Yeah.
So Don had been a pilot and flew small planes that he owned. According to Carol, he did so illegally and under the radar because he didn't have a valid pilot's license. he, ooh. Did you just throw your mic out the
room? Oh, man.
Just making sure you guys are all awake and listening.
My bad.
So, because Don did originally get his pilot's license, and Carol said he lost it the very next day. Now, as far as I know, nobody knows why he lost it, but the fact that he lost it and was still buying and flying planes illegally tells me he's probably into some shady stuff. One theory suggested that Don had gone to look at purchasing a new plane and that he'd been pushed out of the plane in the Gulf, or that he'd crashed into the Gulf. Carol said Don had had multiple plane crashes over the years, which seemed a little insane to me. Maybe after the first one, you shouldn't be flying. I don't know. Especially since you don't even have a freaking pilot's license on top of it. But
right.
Carol also claimed that Don was starting to exhibit early onset Alzheimer's, but others around him say that's absolutely false and he was totally with it, including his Anne McQueen, his assistant. So it's hard to tell whether this is something that Carol, being around him as much as she was because they were married and intimately together all the time, noticed things that maybe other people wouldn't have if he was actually starting to lose it.
Yeah.
Or is this just her way of pushing a narrative that maybe he did something or something happened because he wasn't quite all there anymore? But
yeah.
So I have yet to come across someone else that has confirmed or said that he showed any signs of not being, like, not having all of his mental faculties. So as far as I know, she's the only person who has actually claimed this. So it's hard to say what's true.
Right.
Now, his longtime attorney believes that he was murdered. By who? Don was a millionaire, a playboy, and was making money illegally breeding and selling big cats. So there's many people that could have had a motive to kill him. And obviously his attorney is smart enough not to publicly accuse anyone. But it seems to me that he thinks he knows exactly who did it.
Right.
He also could have had a motive to disappear, though. But could he have disappeared without a trace? And why would he do so without taking his money? It seems you could more efficiently disappear if you have cash flow.
Right.
Not saying he couldn't have had other money that was
well,
hidden.
I heard that he was hiding money and, like, burying it on his property.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that is one of the things that someone that worked for him had said, was that you never really knew how much he was actually worth because he did weird shit like burying gold and money on his property, which is just a strange thing to do. And also makes me think, maybe all his money was not legitimate. So,
right. But
then also that leads me to think that there's more motive for someone else outside of his marriage, like an associate or some kind of illegal dealings, could have had motive to want to get rid of him. So the only thing that is for sure is that most people are simply speculating about what happened. And here are a few theories. The police looked at those closest to him, mainly his assistant Anne and his wife Carol. Anne, as far as anyone knows, had no motive. She did get, I want to say somewhere around $1 million from his life insurance policy if he passed away, but that's only him disappearing changes that until there's actually a death certificate anyways. So for her to disappear him rather than have him killed doesn't really do her a whole lot of good, at least for a while. because she wouldn't get anything until there's a death certificate, which would take 5 years. So that's not the best way if you're trying to get money. That's definitely not the quickest or best way to go about it, in my opinion. So Carol cooperated. Oh, Anne, I'm sorry, his assistant. She completely cooperated with police. She did everything they asked of her. And there was no reason really to be suspicious of her. So Carol cooperated with the police to an extent. But when they asked her to take a polygraph, she refused. Now, again, that doesn't mean she's guilty, because we say every single episode, basically, never take a polygraph. But she does have a clear motive. People in Don's camp who have said he was planning to divorce her said he was the kind of guy that would hide money so she wouldn't get a whole lot. So if she was looking at losing her cats, the sanctuary, all her money, I wonder what that might drive someone to do to prevent losing everything they love. Now, the other icky piece to this is Carol's younger brother was a member of the sheriff's department at that time.
That's convenient.
It is. Which, honestly, here's how I see that. Even if she had nothing to do with Don's disappearance, let's say he just walked away. He got on a plane or a boat or whatever, and he disappeared. Okay? So Carol has nothing to do with it. Let's pretend that that's actual. I could still see someone's brother being part of the department investigating it as a clear conflict of interest, because they're going to be more likely to take Carol's word for things and pretty much just assume that what she's saying, that what she says, like, so for example, when she said he's showing signs of dementia, that they're going to think, okay, well, he'll probably show up at some point. It derails things, in my opinion, because on top of Don's van was found and it wasn't processed properly. It was simply returned to Carol at the wildlife on Easy Street, which I think proves the whole point about her brother being part of the department changing how things were handled. If anything of a missing person is found, it should be processed for clues as evidence. But that's not what happened here. And I would guess either that department is just a shit show and doesn't care about chain of custody or anything, or it's because her brother was part of the investigation or had at least a voice in it. Another thing on Carol's credibility for me is that shortly after Don disappeared, Carol went down to Don's office, cut the locks, and in order to get things out of the office, including Don's important paperwork, like his wills, power of attorney. She redid Don's power of attorney from his trusted assistant, and She redid Don's power of attorney from his trusted assistant and friend Anne to herself. And the most suspicious part of this is that in the new wording of the power of attorney, this is what it says. I, Jack Donald Lewis, appoint as my attorney, in fact, to manage my affairs, Carol Lewis, my wife. This durable family power of attorney shall not be affected by any disability or disappearance, which is a very strange way to word that. It's very specific. It is not a usual way that it would be worded. And
I can't think of any attorney that would word that way.
Oh, it's very strange. It is oddly specific. So, yeah. I mean, and then this supposed grieving wife who'd been bringing out the fireworks for the media got rid of all Don's things. And it takes 5 years for someone that's missing to have them declared as dead. Carol had him declared dead on 5 years and one day. She had no memorial service, no funeral service. She basically just moved on. And this part bothers me because I feel like, let's say a business deal went bad or Don had just gotten into some illegal whatever in Costa Rica and gotten himself killed over it, which is, it's possible. But Don was a man of great means. Wouldn't a wife still want some sort of closure? Wouldn't she? The whole thing is, it's strange. Everybody deals and grieves in different ways. But the fact that she held no service, thinking that he's dead, I don't know. I find it strange that she would just accept he's dead after such a short time. But even stranger that if she did believe that he was dead, that she wouldn't want to have some sort of something ceremony. Exactly. Instead, she, like I said, she got rid of everything of his, but she also told people and had a sign that they were not even to speak his name on the property or in that house, which is like next level, like despising him. And I find that it's all very weird. So all these puzzle pieces start to show a sinister picture, but unfortunately they aren't complete enough to charge her. There just isn't enough evidence. A lot of people have suggested she fed him to the tigers or even that she stuffed him into a septic tank on her property. And I don't know that I believe either of those theories. I will say that I think Carol is smart and calculated. And if she was involved, I don't think we'll ever know about it. I started to go down the Reddit rabbit hole on this, which yielded some interesting theories and points I hadn't thought about. In the documentary, they never discuss how Don made his millions. All of his family just says that he had a green thumb and everything he touched turned to money. But the only thing out there I've found is that he was into trucking and used cars and real estate. But I think it's possible that he could have been a drug smuggler and that it may have led to his demise because he often flew under the radar without a license and no logged flight plans over the Gulf, which is odd. And yeah. I mean, it's possible he just liked to fly and he didn't have a license, so that's how he did it. But it's also, with the other things we know about him, very possible that he got himself into some trouble.
Right.
Now, I want to go back to his friend Kenny, the one who the day before was doing some work with him. He said the day before Don disappeared, he said to Kenny, if I pull this off, it'll be the slickest thing I've ever done. Now that could have meant pull a disappearing act, but it could have also been referring to some sort of a legal deal that went wrong, or it's possible that Don crashed. I guess he had crashed multiple times prior. So it's possible he crashed into the Gulf and we just will never find him. That's definitely a possibility. Yeah. The sheriff's department in Hillsborough County, Florida, have recently asked that anyone with information on Don's disappearance come forward. And I want to leave you with this little gem that I thought was crazy. OJ Simpson must have watched Tiger King recently because he came out and said this.
Well, yours truly. I just got back from the golf course where I actually played pretty well. Now it's back at home, back to the couch, back to television. Listen, I've had so many people on my case asking me to watch some show called Tiger King. Well, yesterday I watched this show, and oh my God, is America in this bad a shape? I watched about 6 episodes of this show, and I couldn't even believe what I was looking at. White people! What's with you and wild animals? Leave them animals alone! The show is crazy. But it's so crazy, you kind of keep watching. One thing I will say, there's not a shred of doubt in my mind that that lady's husband is Tiger Shishimi right now. I'm just saying. Take care, and I hope you find something better to watch.
So, I mean, If O.J. Simpson comes out and says someone killed their spouse,
he's they might have just
killed their spouse. Exactly. So, Tiger Tsushima killed me. But, so, I mean, it is definitely possible that Carol actually had nothing to do with it. Unfortunately, right. the most abundance of evidence points in her direction. But there's a lot of theories here, and he definitely wasn't a clean Boy Scout, so there's, unfortunately, I think a lot of directions this case could go. But I hope that we will be able to get some kind of closure in this one. Right now, it's just a missing persons case. And actually, there was a new episode that just released yesterday for Tiger King that I have not watched yet, so I'm going to have to watch that. Yeah, I'm going to have to get on there and watch that. I just hope it's not about Jeff Lowe, which I kind of have a feeling it is going to be about him because he posted something about the new episode coming or whatever. Yeah. I just hate that guy. I hate him more than Carol. I just feel like, I don't know. I think he's the kind of businessman that I've worked for before.
Oh, yeah.
At a different bar that I worked at years ago. Yeah. And it was just the kind of guy that scams money out of people and basically the kind of guy that you're curious how they're still alive because they're always just a little rat and they're stealing shit from people and taking advantage of people. And it's just the impression I get of Jeff Lowe is that he's I don't know. I don't like him. I don't like him. I don't trust him further than I could throw him.
He's a trash bag.
Oh, 100. I mean, let's be real. Everybody on this show is. Honestly, true. I'll be real honest with you. I think probably anybody on that show that has all their limbs, society would probably be better off if they were in prison. But
I mean, probably.
They're all... I mean, none of them are really better than any of the rest of them, except for Saf, which is the one that lost their arm. And then the one guy that at first I was like, does he have a lot of tattoos? And then I was like, oh, shit, he doesn't have any legs. It's prosthetics that are just like designed like that. But
those were the most badass prosthetics I've ever seen.
Yeah, they really are. But at first I was like, I thought they were tattoos. And then I was like, wait, what the fuck am I looking at? So, but those were the only two people on there that I felt were actually like, I won't say normal human beings, but like, I would trust I guess. I don't even know. But they were definitely the best of the cast on that show. So, yeah. I don't know. But anywho. I decided, I was like, oh, I want to cover this case because they covered, this was only like, what, one episode or so of Tiger King?
Yeah.
So I was like, as soon as I watched it, I was like, wait, but what did happen to Don Lewis? So like, let's cover it. And I'm curious if things will continue. I know that basically under duress, the department has had to reopen officially this case. So we'll see if anything comes of it. It is. Yeah. I mean, the bad thing is if it is unable to be solved to waste more time and money on it. I don't know. I feel like I should probably feel bad for Don, but I'm hard pressed to find emotions of sympathy for someone who is a criminal wife cheater. what other, just a lot of not great qualities. So I don't know. Anywho, just a thought, but I do want to know what happens. So I hope that they do end up solving it.
Yeah, me too.
So, and now I have to go watch that last episode of the show or newest episode. I don't know if there are going to be more or not, but. Oh, by the way, speaking of hating on Jeff Lowe, this motherfucker. So He's married. You watched it. So he's married. I think she was pregnant at the end of the show, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now they've had the baby. I don't even know how old the baby is. Almost a year probably by now. Who knows? And they were talking about the end, hiring a nanny and how he wanted to hire a hot nanny so that he had something to look at or whatever. And his wife is cool with that. But it's like, so now there's all these pictures of him and his new, like, young, hot nanny. And I'm thinking, what is wrong with the nanny that she is cool with this job? Like, is she having sex with this nasty guy with a weird fucking bandana every goddamn day? And a few, like, what's under that bandana on top of this? He's always got a bandana and a hat, and he looks like he stepped out of a fucking, what year was that? Like 2006, 2007, yeah. Where everything was like Affliction wear. And He's got these weird gray curls. Like, okay, cool. Shave your fucking head if you want to wear a bandana every day. Those gray curls hanging out at the back, like a weird mullet. I don't even know what's under there, is disturbing in itself. There's so much I dislike about all of them. I don't know. This documentary opened my eyes to, like, how are there so many people like this in our world? Maybe that's why Earth is trying to rid itself of us with COVID-19.
But, I mean, tell me that one of your thoughts wasn't, I want to pet a tiger.
Yes, I would love to pet a tiger. Maybe a baby tiger. I don't really want
to. Yeah, a baby tiger.
I don't really want to fuck with some big tigers, but but we do have, so we have a, I won't call out their name, but we have a small farm and, well, it's like a, one of those like pumpkin type farms.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They do have a company that comes and brings exotic animals to the farm. And I,
oh, that's cool.
And I refuse to go there because of this, because I've heard nothing but basically negative things about how the animals are treated, the conditions they're kept in, and things like that, which the pumpkin farm doesn't own the animals. They just are brought there for events and things like that, or during the season, yeah. I guess it would be. But it's still promoting that and putting, I don't know. It's so hard. It's like you don't want to give money to somebody who's benefiting from harming animals. But then also, if you're not doing that, then there's no money for them to take care of those animals. So it's like this bad cycle. I don't know.
Right.
I don't approve of it. I don't like it. I don't really want to be a part of that. So yeah, but they do have, like, I forget what, I don't know if it's tigers or if it was, I know it was big cats. I'm not sure exactly what. And they would bring babies, giraffes, and I wish I could remember what else they had, but I refuse to go. I don't want any part of that. So.
But, yeah, I can understand that.
So.
I thought you meant that the farm had it.
Oh, well, as far as I'm aware, it's like a third party company that brings in the animals. And it's just like through the season, and then they take them back wherever. I don't know where they're from. I should find out what company it is. It'd be some shit if it was one of the fucking companies from this docuseries.
Right?
It's Doc with his long ass fucking white ponytail. That'd be some shit. Oh my God. Fucking Joe Exotic. Too bad he's in jail, but that'd be some shit. Can you imagine?
Oh my God, no.
I don't know. All right. Well, I hope that all of our listeners are doing well. I hope everybody's staying safe. We had a little scare today because my husband is an essential worker. He works at different companies that are food production and things. He's a mechanic and he repairs all their forklifts so that they continue to feed America while we're stuck at home. It's how we get our quarantine snackies. So one of the companies he was at today ended up shutting everything down and sending everybody home because someone tested positive over the weekend for COVID. So we'll see what comes of that. I made him strip down in the garage today when he got home and leave all his shit out there and go immediately in his skivvies to the shower. So
that's funny.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like, I don't know. I feel like it's like slowly encroaching. Cause at first it was like, okay, well, it's far away. There's no cases here. So I'm not that worried about it. We shut down, everything shut down. And now it's like, we have so many cases around here. So it's like slowly, slowly come up on us. But so far, everyone I know personally is okay. So yeah, we'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see,
same here.
So I hope all of our listeners and your families and friends, hopefully everybody's hunkered down, stay the fuck home, and hopefully everybody rides this out with as little damage as possible. So
yes, guys, stay safe.
Yeah. Yeah, and apparently wear your masks to the grocery store, which I did, and that was a strange experience. So
yeah, I did it and I don't like it. Like,
I mean, I'll do it, but
it makes me like a turd.
Well, so the company that he was working, my husband was working at, he had some masks, and they're the ones that pinch, you can like pinch it to fit around your nose perfectly, and then it pulls down under your chin. So it did make me feel safer. Not only for me, but God forbid I am carrying it, because my husband is an essential worker and I wouldn't want to give it to someone else either. So I just hope it stops the spread, and I don't know. We'll see. I just hope it, we'll see. See, hopefully we can take care of all this and get everything kind of back to whatever our new normal will be by the summer. Cause y'all, pool season's coming and I'm real sick of being in this house. So we'll see.
Yeah.
But
me too.
Yeah. More importantly, I just hope all our listeners are safe and healthy. So stay home, guys. Turns out it's not a hoax. So
yeah, stay home, stay safe.
So hopefully everybody had a good Easter, and I don't know. I mean, I want to apologize because we've been on this like fucked up schedule lately where we like record and then who knows, and we aren't posting on our normal Wednesdays, but life's been kind of strange. So hopefully you guys understand.
Bear with us.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, we will hopefully have a new episode up for you soon. And stay safe. We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye, guys.